fantasy football today from CBS Sports.
Here we go.
Email us at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com.
Here we go.
We put the R&B in RBBC.
Let's go.
Now, here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, and Heath.
All right, it's the Thursday edition. It is our first start or sit show of the 2016 season. This is awesome. Seven AFC home games to cover tonight. Today on the show. First, though, let's go around the room. Start with Heath, then go to Jamie, then go to Chris Towers. Prediction for tonight.
Score?
Whatever, yeah.
I'll go Panthers 20, Broncos 13.
Jamie?
I will say 24-17 Broncos.
Ooh.
I will say the Broncos will win. I will not give a score. I will say it's a coin flip.
I think the Panthers are going to win, Heath. I'm with you.
Good. Our great friend Nick Costos completely disagrees and has called the Broncos tonight the lock of the millennium.
What's the line?
3.5.
He will also say about 4 other games of the lock of the millennium or Sunday and
yes.
Probably Monday.
Right.
Yeah, I know he likes the Saints, right? -1 at home or +1 at home, whatever it is. But
he also likes the Lions.
Yes. Right. I really like the Bills.
Yeah. Oh, you know what? I'm excited to talk about the Ravens-Bills game. I think it's one of the underrated games, and we're going to get to that in just a second. First, tell me, guys, how many fantasy teams this year? I have met a career-high 10 fantasy teams, but really 9.5 because Heath is probably going to try to completely run the Heath & Company Podcast Rejects League team that we share.
I have 16.
Woo!
16, I believe.
That's nothing, Jamie. What do you got?
Babies.
19. Chris, how about you?
Only 9. I'm the slacker in the group.
Oh, it's a lot of leagues, but it's
Dave,
a lot of fun.
Dave, I think, said his goal this year was to cut down on leagues. He ended up in more.
Yeah, happens all the time.
Poor guy.
I mean, you guys are all in the Scott Fish Bowl, but enough about that. Before we get into the Andrew Luck injury,
you know what's funny is you plug your TV show as much as we plug the Scott Fish Bowl League. Mm-hmm. That Scott should be paying us advertising at this point for how much we mention him.
Oh yeah, and Stranger Things definitely owes me something.
There's got to be somebody that's connected to the show. Like, you know how we had the Star Wars connection? There has to be somebody that is connected to the show in some way, shape, or form that could get you a t-shirt or hat or something.
By the way, the overwhelming consensus on Twitter yesterday was Chris and Adam should never have kids. There's no way you can watch Stranger Things with a 7-year-old.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but I warned you.
I think you can do it. Having experienced no time with a 7-year-old in the roughly 21 years since I was a 17-year-old, or 7-year-old, I don't know what 7-year-olds like, but it's good. Everybody should like it.
Hey, do you guys want to hear read a funny email? I'll read it. It's from Rod, and he wrote to me, subject line, Kirk Cousins. He says, "Dear Adam, stick your guns on Kirk Cousins. Heath is dead wrong. Cousins was 8th in the NFL last year in yards per attempt. I'm not sure why he thinks the majority of his passes were short. I saw all of his games last year. I don't recall that. I have 7 fantasy football teams this year. I own Cousins in 5. Take that, Heath."
Well, that was Chris, actually.
That was Chris. That's the first guy.
Take that, Heath.
Officially mixed up, Creeth.
We don't sound anything alike.
No, but you certainly think alike.
Like, we might have
we don't think alike either. We had quite a fight last night on Twitter.
Listen,
a 4-hour battle.
I was right.
I've seen brothers fight before. It's okay. You guys have disagreements. It's all right. People think Dave and I think alike. We fight all the time.
Yeah. Then Jamie and I fought the other day. It was great. All right.
Yeah,
so let's start the show.
Kirk Cousins was 16th out of 22 qualified passers in deep pass attempt percentage per profootballfocus.com.
They're
so
never
take
wrong.
Take that, Heath.
They're never wrong.
Take that, Heath.
Yeah. Also, when Chris gives a stat, I tend to think it's probably right. Here are your most added players before we get into the games. Terrence West is 56% owned. Tell me what you think about that ownership percentage. Too high, too low, or the porridge is just right? 56% for Terrence West.
He was at 57% on Monday and then 56% after I dropped him. There's no reason to own that guy right now.
Okay.
I think, I mean, I don't know I think in a 12-team standard, that's probably true.
Well, deeper leagues, yes. Sure, you could own them.
Unless you start with a zero running back strategy and you've got five running backs on your bench.
How many of those added him right after Justin Forsett was cut and just forgot to cancel their waiver claim when Justin Forsett was signed again?
Probably. I mean, like the league I picked him up in, it's a keeper league where I drafted Deion Lewis just to see if I will have him later.
Yeah.
And I cut him and then picked up Terrence West and I dropped Terrence West to pick up Rob Kelly. I know you picked him up in one league, Chris.
Yeah.
In a two quarterback
league. I
had
the same.
And you dropped Ryan Tannehill.
Yeah.
Now I wonder if you regret that one.
No.
In a 2QB league.
No, just because I'm not sure anybody else is really excited about picking up Ryan Tannehill.
He already was picked up.
Oh, he was. Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
wow.
Then I guess I'm wrong.
Oh, in a 2QB league, yeah, you dropped Ryan Tannehill.
Yeah.
That was Cray.
I don't think it was Cray.
He's a very solid backup in a 2QB league.
You're a solid backup.
That's a 10-team league, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a starter in that league. I don't know the backup.
Yeah, he's a top 20 guy. So, Terrence West, number one. Number two, Spencer
Ware. Not this week.
Not this week. Will Fuller, number three. Tajay Sharp, number four. They are 59 and 63% on, respectively. Who would you rather have, Will Fuller or Tajay Sharp?
Sharp.
Sharp for the season, but Fuller for this week. So if you're just looking for a one-week scenario, Fuller is the better play.
Yeah.
Kenneth Dixon, 30% owned. Terrence West, 56% owned. Kenneth Dixon, 30% owned. We said West over owned. What about Dixon at 30%?
That's the speculative ad, if you want to wait it out. But again, I don't see a lot of upside with this backfield until we get an idea of who's going to be the guy. If Justin Forsett gets off to a good start, he's going to be the guy until he gets hurt.
I would rather have Terrence West on my roster than Kenneth Dixon because I think there's about a 75% chance, maybe even higher, that you're dropping Kenneth Dixon before he makes an impact.
Okay, we've got three tight ends in the top 15. Chris Towers, Jesse James, and Virgil Green are right around 20 to 25% owned. Jared Cook is 70% owned. Do you think there's that big of a difference between Jared Cook and Jesse James and Virgil Green?
We've seen Jared Cook make an impact before. It's not like the other two are in. I guess Jesse James might be in a better situation, but I don't think Virgil Green is. I definitely think Jared Cook's much more worth owning than the other two.
Okay. So some stats to consider as we get ready for the AFC home games on today's show. The Ravens. I feel like we've been a little hard on the Ravens this year. With Joe Flacco healthy last year, they averaged 22.6 points per game, which was 17th in the NFL over 16 games. But with Flacco and Steve Smith, they averaged close to 24 points per game, which was 12th in the NFL. Is it possible that they're going to put up some points this week? You know, obviously the Bills are banged up defensively. I'm not sure that the Ravens don't have a good showing here.
Is there any reason to believe Steve Smith is healthy at this point?
But they have Perryman, they have Aiken, they have Smith, they have Wallace. They actually have a better overall receiving core than they did last year.
I think that there's a reason they can be like basically the numbers you gave is 17th and 12th. That puts them right about league average.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it's possible the Ravens' offense could be league average. Now, I'm still going to be down on them in the game because I don't think they've done enough to make their defense league average.
Well, that's another story. Yeah, certainly. All right, so there's one other stat that I think is pretty interesting that I wanted to give out here. The Bengals will be playing without Vontaze Burfict against the New York Jets. They really struggled against running backs without Burfict last year, especially pass-catching running backs. Marcel Reese caught two touchdowns. Danny Woodhead had 68 receiving yards. Jamal Charles had 70. And on the ground, Melvin Gordon averaged 5.5 yards per carry. Jamal Charles, 6.8. Thomas Rawls, 7.35, and he scored 22 fantasy points. LeSean McCoy had a big game, 15 fantasy points, 5.3 yards per carry. They were much better. I mean, they were dominant against running backs with Burfict back. Now, I'm not sure if there were other circumstances there, but it's kind of interesting for Matt Forte, who, you know, people don't really love coming into the year. Does he have an opportunity to have a big week one?
This is the time you want to use him. You know, when you're talking about 30-year-old running backs with first game opportunity, you know, get a chance to show something at home. I think the Jets can win this game. So, yeah, I think he's a good number two running back, but will he be the passing downs guy completely? You know, or are we going to see Bilal Powell in that role? So I think Forte is, you know, I wouldn't get overexcited about him, but he's certainly somebody that you should feel comfortable starting if you drafted him, you know, to be a starter for you.
So we got Frank Gore and Matt Forte, two guys who I don't know. You know, people were pretty down on this year, but you know, mid-round value, I guess, for Gore especially. But both of them have good matchups this week. So those are two guys that I'm going to be keeping an eye on. Are there any particular players that you really are locked in on this week? You really want to see how they do?
Oh, I mean, there's so many. It's
who's on your watch list?
For me, it's all of the really unsettled running back situations in particular. That's going to be, I think, where we're running out to make ads this weekend. Like, if Terrence West does end up getting 60% of the snaps for Baltimore and gets 15 carries, then 56% is going to be too low. So that's one that I definitely want to see.
I want to see these wide receiver situations specifically. It sounds like Arizona's wide receivers are healthy. All three of them are going to be on the field. I don't think John Brown is even listed on the injury, going to be listed on the injury report.
He wasn't yesterday.
So I want to see the distribution of targets in that game. And maybe that'll just solely be determined by who New England decides to put Butler on. And they'll just avoid Butler. But I want to see that. I also want to see, is the Marvin Jones hype for real?
Yeah.
In an actual game, is he going to get more targets than Golden Tate?
Or he only got like one more target than Golden Tate in the preseason too.
Right. But I expect him to be more productive per target than Tate. So if he's getting like, the whole reason I think Tate has value is because he gets a lot of targets and has a lot of catches. If Jones is getting more targets, he's going to be a lot more valuable than Tate.
All right. So your news and notes. Andrew Luck was limited with a right shoulder injury facing Detroit this week. Any concerns there?
No,
not yet.
Okay. Jamaal Charles was limited in practice. We've been talking about that a lot. Still not expected to play. The Vikings have not yet named a starting quarterback. Thomas Rawls is going to be on a snap count in week one. So for people making the Thursday night decision, how would you rank C.J. Anderson, Jonathan Stewart, and Kristen Michael?
Anderson, Michael, Stewart.
Yep.
Yep.
And Rawls would be at the end of that list?
Oh, no, I'd rather start Rawls than Stewart.
Distant end.
So, Jamie, you would rather
start No,
Stewart
I would not
Rawls?
Touch Thomas Rawls this week at all.
All right.
They're treating this like it's going to be a second preseason game.
Yeah. Okay. Jimmy Graham likely to play. We're not starting him, right?
No.
Nope.
Okay. Will Fuller hurt his hamstring, but he should be able to play. Jamie just talked about how much he likes him. Matt Jones seems likely to play. He's got the Monday night game against Pittsburgh. Josh Doctson will be questionable, likely going to be questionable for that game.
Although Jones has not taken contact in practice yet, has he?
He was wearing a non-contact jersey, yeah. So that would assume no.
All right, it's not a certainty then. So Rob Kelly, I guess.
No, he says he's going to play.
Well, he said, yeah. Okay.
He's probably going to be questionable on Sunday morning.
Yeah.
He did practice without the non-contact jersey yesterday. So
Jones has that extra day, certainly. Now, Justin Forsett says he's still the Ravens starter. So I guess who would you rather own, Forsett or Terrence West?
Forsett.
Carlos Hyde was cleared for contact, but he is not a certainty to play this week. It looks good for him, though. They have a Monday night game. Julio Jones was still limited by his sore ankle. But he should be fine. Jordan Matthews expected to play. Eric Ebron has been practicing. And then some offensive line news. Terron Armstead for the Saints, their left tackle. He should be able to play this week. Well, he could play this week. He was limited in practice. That was encouraging. And Mike Pouncey is going to be questionable, the Dolphins center. If you had any other reason not to like Arian Foster or Jay Ajayi this week, they might not have Mike Pouncey. Congratulations to Drew Brees and Emmanuel Sanders on your fresh new contracts. And the Browns named RG3 their team captain. Oh, my goodness. Heath, the RG3 guy over there, he's turning a new leaf. He's a team captain.
He's matured.
He could, maybe. It's possible. That would help him. You know?
I think it's a very nice thing for him to do. Hopefully it builds his confidence up.
Well,
he'll be fine until he gets hurt. I mean, that's the only problem with him.
Yeah. I got a tough one today. Dalton or RG3 this week? Who would you guys rather have?
RG3.
RG3, but it's close.
Chris?
Yeah, RG3.
RG3. Hey, you know what I did for dinner last night? I had my Blue Apron. It was awesome. Sloppy Joe's with a green bean and tomato salad. It was so good. I still have my sweet corn tatali pasta with cherry tomatoes, jalapeno, and ricotta cheese to cook probably tonight or tomorrow night. Now, you can get 3 free meals at blueapron.com/FFT. 3 free meals. blueapron.com/FFT, as in fantasy football today. Go try it. There's nothing to lose. And please let me know on Twitter when you do so we can talk about how great Blue Apron is. And so I know that you guys are taking advantage of this awesome offer. And I want to tell you what I love about Blue Apron. the price, the quality, the health factor, and the convenience. It's less than $10 per meal. And think about how much you spend when you go to the grocery store and how much food you end up throwing out. I mean, that's so frustrating. That never happens with Blue Apron. They give you exactly what you need. The food is so good. That's the most important part. You're not going to eat it if it's bad. Not all ingredients are created equal. Fresh, high-quality ingredients make a real difference, so it's important to know where your food comes from. And Blue Apron helps me eat healthy. I've lost some weight. I feel better. I feel healthier. I'm eating my vegetables, finally. Every Blue Apron meal has a lot of really good vegetables, and not just healthy, but really, really good, too. And it's convenient. You guys know, I don't like leaving my house. I don't like seeing the light of day. Blue Apron gets delivered right to my door, so it's just so efficient. It's so convenient for you every single week right at your front door. You're going to get your food. You're going to get exact proportions, detailed instructions, and, of course, three free meals plus free shipping at blueapron.com/FFT. Check out this week's menu. Get started right now. You're going to love how good it feels and tastes to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron. blueapron.com/FFT. Blue Apron, a better way to cook. Give me a sleeper this week, guys. Who's a sleeper for you?
Vincent Jackson.
Okay, against the Falcons. Chris, got a sleeper?
Clive Walford.
Ah, okay.
I like that one. Yeah.
Yeah, so Walford, you know, if you were choosing between Ebron or Walford, who would you go with? They both have good matchups.
I guess I might drop Ebron. Because if I have, I probably picked up Ebron late in the draft. I'm not sure anybody's really looking to pick him up, so I might be willing to drop him. But if I'm worried somebody's going to pick him up, if it's a deeper league, I just hang on to Ebron.
Jamie, how about you? A sleeper this week?
Brock Osweiler.
All right. How about like a PPR sleeper? Anybody good for PPR league specifically, guys?
I was thinking, you know, Heath and I did a piece where we mentioned one sleeper for every team in the NFL, and I think TJ Yeldon in PPR. If the Jaguars go down, he's probably going to be the passing down. When the Jaguars go down to the Packers, he's probably going to be the passing downs back. He might get a little extra work this week.
Okay. Anyone else?
I might just stick with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. All my sleepers are on their team, but I think you can start Doug Martin and Charles Sims this week. The Falcons were absolutely terrible against pass-catching running backs last year. The worst in the league. Sims is going to be very involved in the game plan, even if Martin had huge games, both games, I think, against the Falcons last year, but I could see both of them being startable this week.
I agree with you, but it's funny because he didn't have very good games against them last year for as much as they allowed guys to catch the ball. I think he had, five catches combined in the two games?
Yeah.
So it's a little surprising, but yeah, I think they're going to be more up-tempo this year than we saw from them last year. They're going to trust Jameis a little bit more. So that would suggest if they're going to throw the ball, that's going to allow for Charles Sims to be on the field a little bit more.
That game's a low-key bonanza threat.
Yeah. Well, and just to, you know, same concept here, James White is pretty interesting to me in PPR. Just based on what we saw from Garoppolo in the preseason, he liked the checkdowns. I definitely think they're going to be trailing at Arizona. So, you know, we've gotten a lot of questions about James White. I think he's kind of an interesting one in PPR this week. You guys feeling that?
For sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely. That was going to be the guy I was going to say.
Who's a bust this week?
Macklin.
Mm.
Tough history against the Chargers. That's the strength of their defense, is their corners. And so I think you'll see them be able to run with a lot of success. And don't overlook the fact that they don't have Eric Weddle anymore. That's going to be really big for Travis Kelce. Weddle's
one
of the
That's why you have Kelce ranked so high. I couldn't figure it out because he was bad against the Chargers in two games last year.
Yeah, because Eric Weddle was there and Weddle's gone. He's one of the better cover guys. So don't play Charles Clay this week.
Okay. Yeah, the Ravens are actually optimistic that their pass defense is going to be a lot better this year, thanks to Eric Weddle. We will, of course, see. Any other bust guys? Chris, Heath, Kreeth?
I think Jordy Nelson could be someone that you might want to... You know, you're probably still going to start him, but given that it's his first game back, he didn't play in the preseason, Packers might go up big early and not need to throw the ball all that much. It's possible Jordy Nelson disappoints.
You don't think they would feature him, though, if they're going up early? Like, he's not a part of it.
I mean, it's certainly possible. That's one of the things that we always kind of overlook sometimes when we talk about blowouts, is like if a team's going to blow another team out, they're probably going to put up some points on the way there. But just with his first game back, if he's limited at all, it makes me a little nervous.
But But if you drafted him relatively high, you're
I'm
still
not
playing.
Sure there's any way you can bench him. You probably drafted him as your number one wide receiver, so it's a rough spot.
The Miami Dolphins.
Busts.
That's just all of them. Maybe you're in a situation where you start Jarvis in PPR, but...
If you had heard the conversation I had with my neighbor in the elevator about the Dolphins this season...
I did hear that, actually. It's very interesting.
I don't think you would think that anybody has expectations for them. I don't know if they can be a bust.
Well, this week, obviously, at Seattle, very tough matchup. I was going to contribute something, but I totally forgot. Oh, the Jordy Nelson thing. You're going to start him, but I guess a lot of people are playing Daily Fantasy. Chris would probably tell you don't start. Jordy Nelson probably not worth the price in your Daily Fantasy leagues.
I would assume so.
All righty then. Detroit at Indianapolis. The Lions hoping to get a healthy DeAndre Levy this year, hoping he'll make a difference for their defense, but it was not very good last year. So Andrew Luck is a top three quarterback. What about Frank Gore, guys? Start or sit Frank Gore? How about comparing him to Matt Forte? Who would you guys rather have this week?
Much rather start Forte.
Forte, yeah.
Regardless of format.
Yeah, but you know what's interesting? I looked at Gore's numbers last year with Luck. What would you say he averaged in the seven games he played with Luck fantasy points, standard league?
Nine?
Chris?
10.3.
To be exact.
You want me to guess?
Sure.
8.6.
I figured you'd go low. 9.5 is where he was at.
Yes.
And three of those games were against the Jets, the Panthers, and the Broncos. And surprisingly enough, he had his best game against the Broncos. That was Luck's last game of the season. I think he could be better than we give him credit for when he's healthy. I don't think he's going to get 16 games out of Frank Gore, though.
The Lions did really improve on defense over the second half of last season.
Oh, yeah, when they changed coordinators, sure.
Especially against running backs, they gave up more than 10 points only three times in the last eight games.
I mean, I don't see this being a big yardage game for Frank Gore, but I would be disappointed if you got less than 60 total yards and a touchdown out of him. Just given what the over-under is, it's not like they're going to take him off the field if they're at the goal line and they're still going to run the ball when they're inside the 10th.
I've got Gore in a couple rosters. The problem I have is, I feel like he's a pretty decent start this week. I wouldn't tell anybody you have to sit him. Mm-hmm. But most of the time you didn't draft him as a starter. So unless he's on a team where you drafted Bell or Charles or Rawls, you're probably not starting him over the two starting running backs that you drafted.
And I probably drafted him more than any of us on the show. I also drafted Kristen Michael more than any of us on the show. So I'm going to play Michael over Frank Gore in those scenarios. But I do think Frank Gore is a safe start this week.
What about like Marvin Jones or Frank Gore?
No, you play the upside of Jones.
Yeah.
Yep.
Even in standard?
Yes.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if it's similar, but this game, if you're just, taking a step back from it, it sets up as more of a let's track meet, throw the ball all over the place, as opposed to grind it out and, lean on your running game. So this could easily be one of those, and I would say sell high on Frank Gore if he has one of these 80-plus, two-touchdown type games, which could happen. I mean, I don't see 100-plus yards from him rushing, but, we've been trying to figure out, and probably the Colts have been trying to figure out who's the backup here. Adam, I saw you picked up Robert Turbin in one league in the last couple of days.
Two leagues.
One league that.
Yeah,
that
one league
together.
That you're in. Yeah.
Right. And so I don't think it's a bad idea to try and figure out if it's going to be Ferguson, if it's going to be Turbin, if they're still in somebody else that they bring in after contracts aren't guaranteed. Maybe it's Ronnie Hillman. That they're not done with their backfield. But while Gore is on the field and with Luck, I think you can get in that nine range on an every other week basis, which will put him in the number two flex category. But if he has this big game this week, absolutely punt on him if somebody needs a running back for next week, with an injury coming
up. I'd start him over guys like Jeremy Langford, Rashad Jennings, Isaiah Crowell. I like it better than those guys.
Yep.
But he's kind of at the end of the number two running back.
I'll tell you the one that I struggle with who was drafted to be a starter is Jeremy Hill. Because Jeremy Hill's got he's a better player.
Right.
But not a better situation this week.
Yeah, wow. I mean, as much as I don't like Gore and I love Hill, I think I would start Gore over Hill. Wow.
Yeah, that's the one that I've been struggling. Like PPR, it's easy because Hill's not going to catch the ball a lot. That's going to be Geo. But in standard, it's close.
Yeah, the Jets are not going to have Sheldon Richardson, but they didn't have him last year for a few games, and they were great without Sheldon Richardson. Leonard Williams is going to be even better this year. I mean, they should be, once again, really amazing against the run. The Jets were the second-best team against the run last year, so that... I mean, he doesn't catch passes, so that's a tough matchup for Hill. All right, how about ranking the wide receivers? There's this Darius Slay talk, and he is a good player, but just looking at what happened last year, pretty much every good wide receiver that faced Detroit had a good game. But you've got four very interesting wide receivers here. How would you rank the two Colts and two Lions?
I've got it Hilton, Moncrief, Jones, Tate.
In both standard and PPR?
Yes.
Yeah, it's interesting, Jamie? that you think both Colts will be better than both Lions, and I'm not saying I disagree. It's just, is that mostly just because of the uncertainty around how the Lions will use theirs?
I think so. And they're both going to have big games. Yeah. All four of them. I'm starting all four of them.
That's the
point.
They're all
in my top 22. I think you look at it, I have it ranked the same way Heath does, but I wouldn't discount the third receivers either. In Dorsett having a big play, you're not going to start him because week one. But Daly, you know, Dorsett's going to be cheap. He could be a third receiver for you. And Bolden, there was one of the beat writers for Detroit with Eric Ebron not expected to be 100%, that Bolden's going to see, you know, an uptick in targets this week.
Basically a tight end at this point.
Yeah, in a lot of ways. That he could have, you know, a 60-yard day and a touchdown too. So with the way that this game just shapes up, I think everybody's at play. You know, between this game and the Falcons-Saints game, the Raiders-Saints game, they set up to be, you want to have as many of these guys in your lineup as possible.
So, Jamie, give me some quarterbacks that you would start Matthew Stafford over. You prefer Matthew Stafford to which quarterbacks?
Well, the obvious one, but, you know, depending on when you're listening to this, is Cam. I would have no hesitation with that. And again, depending on when you listen to it, if Cam has a great game tonight, I would take my lumps with that just because I think Stafford's situation is better.
Right.
Rivers, that's an easy one. But Carson Palmer, I like him better than him. I like him better than Roethlisberger. I like him better than really everybody outside of the guys you drafted in the top four aside from Cam. So he's right there. The only guy that, you know, probably was drafted after him that I like better than him is Derek Carr.
I would make it easier. I've got him ranked fifth, so I like him better than everybody that, besides Breeze, Luck, Rodgers, and Wilson. I've got Carr right behind Stafford, so I mean, I think they're kind of a toss-up.
All right, Chris, you can break the tie. Carr or Stafford?
Carr.
And how about the Detroit running backs? Amir Abdullah or Frank Gore, guys?
I like Abdullah.
Yeah, Abdullah.
I like Abdullah better, but again, it's one of those situations where it's a little bit of a toss-up. I just think that the Detroit run defense, as Chris alluded to, is a little bit better than the Colts defense. The Colts defense is going to be awful. You know, it's just that's the thing that, you know, you're gonna find a lot of, like, what we're seeing this weekend. I don't know how many people buy into the Detroit offense fully. We have to still see it first because, you know, the change without Calvin there. But the fact that the over-under for this game is already as high as it is shows you you're gonna get this a lot from teams facing the Colts. So it's almost, you know, we fall into this trap a lot, and sometimes it bites us in the butt, but most of the time we're right.
And that's been
it's
the story.
Start your guys against the Colts.
And that's
is
been
be
the story of Andrew Luck's career, that they give up a lot of points. He ends up having to lead these huge comebacks in the third and fourth quarter.
Right. That's why I think Andrew Luck's going to have a big season. Like, you know, it's kind of easy to say, but the non-Rodgers Cam guy to be number one is easily Luck, and I don't think it's close.
All right. Yeah, Abdullah's probably another one of those guys. And I asked you earlier, who are you keeping track of? That would be maybe number one for me. I want to see what they're going to do with the ball. Are they going to give him, you know, 15 carries? Is Theo Riddick going to play a big role here?
That's another PPR sleeper for this week too.
Riddick, yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Let's move on to Green Bay and Jacksonville. Rank the wide receivers in this game. Rank the four wide receivers in Green Bay at Jacksonville.
I'll go Robinson, Jordy, Cobb, Hearns.
Yeah, the only difference for me is I would take Cobb over Jordy this week.
I think that might be the way I would go as well.
Any particular reason why?
I just think that Cobb is healthier at this point, has been, you know, doing more in practice, doing more in preseason. And to what Chris said earlier, you know, they may limit Jordy just a little bit. You know, we keep talking about this with Jamaal Charles and him not playing and Thomas Rawls being, you know, somewhat, you know, kid gloves a little bit with him. I don't see any reason why Jordy is going to get the full allotment of targets. He may play the full allotment of snaps, but Aaron Rodgers is going to lean on Cobb, I think, a little bit more. And I think he's going to lean on Jared Cook in this game. So Jordy may still score. I don't think I don't think you're benching Jordy Nelson by any stretch, but I just think Cobb's ceiling is a little bit higher for this week.
All right. Jacksonville allowed the sixth most fantasy points to opposing tight ends last year, including 7 touchdowns to tight ends in their last 8 games. But which tight end do you guys like better? Because Green Bay wasn't very good against tight ends last year either. So do you like Julius Thomas or Jared Cook this week?
I've got Thomas 2 spots higher, but it's pretty close to a coin flip.
Yeah, I think it's kind of like the Lions wide receivers. We just don't quite know what Jared Cook's role is going to be. We know Julius Thomas is going to be involved in some way.
The Thomas is touchdown or bust. I just don't see him scoring this week. So if he scores, he's going to be fine. I think Cook's the better play.
What about Allen Hurns? I want to stay on him a little bit. Are you trying to sit Allen Hurns this week?
No, I think he's a good third receiver. You know, depending on how your team sort of unfolded, like if you paired Hurns and Gordon, he's a fine Gordon replacement. And he's certainly in the flex conversation in PPR leagues. I think this is a Bortles game. You know, I mean, the everything that we talked about, or at least my take on it is that he was going to have a better team around him. I don't see that unfolding in this matchup. I think that the Packers offense will put up points. I think that they'll stop the run. And I think you're going to see what we saw from Bortles last year, which is having to throw the ball in the fourth quarter. So I think he's still an okay play, and his receivers are okay plays this week.
Bortles 12th for Jamie, but 16th for Heath. You don't share the optimism.
No, I mean, I think the way that Jamie sees this playing out could play out. I also would prefer week one with so many good matchups to not count on my starting quarterback having to have garbage time. I mean, he's had a lot of success in garbage time. There's a equally good chance, in my opinion, that they fall behind and then he's just bad in the fourth quarter.
How about Allen Hurns or Amir Abdullah at a flex?
Abdullah.
Chris?
Abdullah.
Oh, all right. I like really the confidence there, Chris.
He's the biggest Allen Hurns guy there's ever been.
Is that right?
I liked him before last season.
Good for you.
You're the only one. So yeah. Like, that's a compliment.
No, Dave was on him too.
Yeah, with Big Kane won. Of course he was. you're going to start Eddie Lacy this week. He's top 10 in standard. He's top 12 in PPR. I just want to say one thing about Aaron Rodgers. I do not usually start him in daily fantasy leagues when he's on the road. Just looking at like the last 3 years, for example, he's always better at home than on the road, and not just better, but a lot better. Last year, he wasn't a lot better at home, but that's because he kind of had a down year. Usually, we're talking about the best quarterback in NFL history in Lambeau and just really, really, really good on the road. So I don't know if he's worth the price.
No, I've started and completed most of my quarterback research for DFS this week, and I'm not sure he's the top 8 option. You just got Breeze, you've got Luck, you got Stafford and Carr for cheaper. So a lot of people are going to play Dak. I'm not probably going to have any Aaron Rodgers at all.
Okay, how about the Jacksonville running backs? We'll finish on this. Green Bay allowed 4.5 yards per carry last season, but still, they showed some late improvement. They finished 12th in fantasy points allowed to opposing running backs. So what about Ivory and Yeldon? What do you think? Chris, you called Yeldon a sleeper here, so give me your take on them.
I just worry. Ivory did get involved in the passing game last season for the Jets. It's possible he'll be in on passing downs frequently this season, but I just feel like with two fairly similar-ish talent at running back, you'd probably rather split them up a little more. I think Yeldon gets more passing downs work, and if we think this game's going to be a blowout, it probably leans towards more of a Yeldon game. I don't feel confident starting either one, though.
Would you guys start Yeldon over Jonathan Stewart?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
Would you start him over Melvin Gordon?
No.
Yes.
It's a really tough matchup for Melvin Gordon. Yeah, maybe.
All right.
Adam Schefter, uh-huh. Speaking of which, timely tweet, that Gus Bradley said both Yeldon and Ivory will get a lot of playing time together.
Ooh, cute. I like that. So, San Diego at Kansas City, that tough matchup we mentioned for Melvin Gordon. The Chargers scored a combined 6 points in 2 games against Kansas City last year. I know you guys want to sit Phillip Rivers. He did not face the Chiefs with Keenan Allen last year, but he does have very bad history at Arrowhead. We talked about that earlier in the week. So, yeah, let's start with the San Diego running backs. Jamie, give me your take on Gordon and Danny Woodhead this week.
I don't want either one of them if I can avoid it, and I have Gordon in several leagues. I'm sitting him for Kristen Michael, certainly for Spencer Ware. I would do it for TJ Yeldon, especially in PPR. So I just don't see this as a great opportunity for Gordon to get off to a great start. Now, does help that Justin Houston, just from an offensive standpoint, is not going to play. He was a big part of that. A big part of the reason why the Chargers struggled last week, and Tom Bahali is only going to play limited snaps. But the fact that Eric Berry's back, I think that is the huge difference maker for the defense. So I don't want to really start any of the Chargers if I can avoid it, with Keenan Allen being the best of the bunch.
I'm really conflicted on this one, because I do think the Justin Houston out, the Tom Bahali being limited, has a huge impact on this Chiefs defense. And they've got a decent secondary, but I don't know that they have a secondary that can cover for a long time. I think they're pretty good at getting up in your face and covering you for the first 3 to 4 seconds and then hope Houston or Holly get home. If the Chiefs can't get pressure, I think that you could see the Chargers have a lot more success than they had last year against this defense. That being said, I don't want to start Rivers. I'm a little more optimistic about Gordon. I don't have a problem starting Keenan Allen at all.
No, okay. You have Keenan Allen 19th. You're the high man on him. Jamie has Keenan Allen 24th. Dave has Keenan Allen 22nd. Chris, what's your feeling on Keenan Allen? I guess could definitely see some Marcus Cooper in this game. What do you think?
Was Cooper good as a rookie?
For a rookie, I think he was very good.
Yeah.
Heath?
Okay. I mean, yes. I know he got a lot of interceptions. He was also the most targeted defensive back in football, right? I'm pretty sure that was...
You mean Marcus Peters.
Yeah, oh, sorry. Marcus Peters. Marcus
Peters. Marcus Cooper's been cut. Right?
Marcus
Peters. Yeah.
Traded.
So it's... I don't know if he's like someone that I'm scared of.
I think the thing that makes me nervous is that he's just limited. And I think this is going to be one of those games where the Chiefs just dominate time of possession, because they will be able to run. And so Rivers could have the Bortles type performance, falling into production late because of the pass rusher situation not being great for them. But Gates hasn't played well against the Chiefs. That's a big part of Rivers. And they can sort of slant coverage to maybe take away Allen a little bit. The one thing that I think gives you a little bit of glimmer of hope, like you said, Adam, didn't have Allen in the second game against Kansas City. And the last time he played well in Kansas City was when Ken Whisenhunt was his offense coordinator. The offensive line should be healthy. They have DJ Fluker playing for this game. He had a little bit of a scare in the preseason. So I don't think Rivers is going to be as miserable as he's been, which he averaged 9 fantasy points against Kansas City last year in a standard league. But I don't think he's going to top 18, which puts him toward the back end of a starting guy and certainly more in the number 2 range. And then for the running game, look, Danny Woodhead was miserable against this team too. They just do a good job in coverage, period.
Yeah.
And to Heath's point, it's going to be interesting to see without the pass rush there. But they've been planning to be without Justin Houston for a while. And Tom Bahali snaps, while limited, are going to come in pass rush situations. So they're going to make sure that third and long, which they're probably going to be in several of those situations, the Chargers being, I think you'll see Tom Bahali coming on the field, getting after Rivers, and we'll see if this offensive line is better. But for this week, I would try and stay away from all Chargers not named Keenan Allen, for sure. And Eric Berry is the best safety in coverage of any tight of covering tight ends. Best guy in coverage any tight ends among safeties. He is going to take away Antonio Gates like he did last year.
Heath, you actually like Antonio Gates. You're the high man on Gates. You have him 7th.
Yeah, I don't totally disagree with what Jamie said, but again, it just comes back to, I'm worried about if the Chiefs can't generate a pass rush, and I'm not really sure they're going to be. And I do think the Chiefs are going to have a lead in this game heading in the second half. They're going to be throwing the ball. I'd expect Gates is going to have some value. I don't love tight end this week. Like, a lot of the guys that are towards the bottom of my tight end rankings, I'm kind of unsure about in that startable range.
Okay. Like,
and so there just wasn't Ertz. Anybody I could move ahead of him. Zach Ertz is a guy that I've loved all summer, but I'm not really fond of him in a rookie quarterback's first game.
Would you guys start Spencer Ware or Keenan Allen at a flex?
Not even close. Spencer Ware.
Yeah.
I've got Ware as a top 10 running back, so yeah.
All right. Ware's a must start. Jeremy Maclin, we want to sit this week. He was brutal against San Diego last year.
Yeah, Marcus Cooper was great against him. yeah, look, Jason Verrett's a very good cornerback. Brandon Flowers is a very good number 2 cornerback. I forget the guy's name who they added as their third guy this offseason.
Marcus Cooper.
probably. The concern would be is the safety play for them. And I think that's where Kelsey comes into the equation more so than Maclin. This is going to be a very limited passing performance, typically so from the Chiefs, but I think more so than we've seen before, or more so than we see usually. So I think it's easy to get away from Maclin this week. And we saw it last year when they were running the ball with a lot of success. He didn't have the best of performances.
I can't believe you have Travis Kelce as your number 2 tight end this week. That is...
Yeah.
I mean, the only guy that I think it's is iffy is starting him over Gronk, but Gronk is not 100%, and there's some talk about his snaps being limited. So, you know, Fleener or Kelsey, I don't know how many people have to make that call. You can certainly make a case that Fleener's better given the matchup against Oakland.
Yeah.
You know, outside of those four guys, though, I don't see a reason why Kelsey's not in the top four.
Okay. Yeah, Heath has him fourth. All right, that's going to do it for San Diego and Kansas City. We move on to Buffalo at Baltimore. And no Elvis Dumervil for Baltimore this year. And you're not starting Joe Flacco, but I don't know. I'm kind of interested because he threw for 299 or more yards in 4 of 5 home games last year. Buffalo's pass defense inconsistent. Buffalo in general just very banged up or suspended right now. So they come in with kind of a hobbling defense. Are we completely staying away from the Baltimore running game this week?
Yeah, if it's week one and I've got to start one of those guys, things have gone really bad.
The one thing would be that we've talked about this a lot with some of these running back situations. If you drafted Rawls and Charles,
right,
and you know, looking to be guys for you week one, especially if you drafted early, you're stuck. And you said it, this defense is banged up. And so I think we're going to get some surprise performances from Baltimore, whether it's Mike Wallace or Brashad Perryman or Smith or Aiken.
We're not high on anybody in this.
That's
offense,
the thing.
So
you can't peg
game.
It to anybody. Yeah. So if you were going to pick a running back coming out of it, Forsett would be the guy just based on the narrative of he says he's going to be the starter. All the beat writers said he was expected to have a big role early in the season. I wouldn't be surprised if Baltimore wins this game. But
no, I think they are going to win the game.
Yeah, and the thing would be is that, you know, Rex just doesn't have the guys to do what he needs to do. But from our perspective and what we're trying to tell people is, who can you trust?
Yeah.
And so it's going to be, we're going to sit here on Sunday and, you know, chat with you, Adam, and say the leader on FanDuel or whatever daily site you play on, Justin Forsett's going to be in every lineup of the leader, or Mike Wallace is the guy that they took. These are the type of plays you're looking for. But yeah, in your season redraft leagues, whatever the case may be, you can't say I confidently start any of those guys. There's no chance.
No. Now, as far as Tyrod Taylor goes, we take a look at Tyrod Taylor. I will ask you, start or sit Tyrod Taylor, and then I will tell you that only 2 of the last 8 quarterbacks to face the Ravens last year scored 20 or more fantasy points. Those who did not included Blake Bortles, Ryan Tannehill, and Ben Roethlisberger. So start or sit Tyrod Taylor this week.
What were the running performances in those games, though?
I don't know.
Outside of the Jacksonville game.
I'm definitely starting Tyrod Taylor. I don't think Baltimore is going to win this game, not because I think the arguments you've made about their offense or Buffalo's defense are completely wrong, just because I don't think Baltimore's defense is going to be able to stop this Bills offense.
The key for me is, and how good Buffalo's, I think Tyrod's a good start because where did he play before he came to Buffalo? You know, I love that.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So I think you look at, he'll be able to make plays. Like, I think he's going to rush for, you know, 2 or 3 fantasy points, if not more. He'll get you the one passing touchdown, if not more. I think his ceiling's capped. I don't think he's, you know, going to be in the Carr or Stafford range, but I think he's better start than Cam Newton, and I may be in the minority by saying that.
No,
but
I agree.
I would trust him there.
Bortles or Taylor?
Taylor.
Okay.
I just think that the big thing for Tyrod is how healthy is Sammy Watkins, because Sammy Watkins could have a huge game against the secondary.
Oh yeah,
that's the key.
All right, so Sammy Watkins is a must start this week.
Can I give you some Baltimore Ravens trivia?
Sure.
Guess how many interceptions they had as a team last year?
7. 5.
Yeah, I would say around 5.
It was 6. The whole season.
That's bad.
That's
but awesome. they're going to be better. I mean, last year was a train wreck.
It was the worst in the NFL.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were bad. LeSean McCoy is top 12. Real quick, let's say people are just loaded. Would you start LeSean McCoy over Kristen Michael or Spencer Ware?
Yes.
Yeah. Not over Ware.
Not over Ware.
Yeah. Oh, no, I'm sorry.
Yeah, over Kristen Michael, not over Ware.
Agreed.
All right, then. I think that pretty much covers it. We're not starting the tight ends in this game. We already laid that out. Buffalo DST is 15th for Jamie, 7th for Dave, and 12th for Heath. Chicago at Houston. Brock Osweiler is a guy you might want to start. Brock Osweiler is 16th for Jamie, 13th for Dave, 17th for Heath. So, you know, Chicago allowed the 7th most fantasy points to opposing quarterbacks last season, and they are banged up. And Osweiler actually faced the Bears last year, and he scored 22 fantasy points on only 27 passes. So if you're desperate, not a bad option.
The one thing, though, about it is
yeah, go ahead.
We've been talking about it a lot, and I wrote it on Start Set. The thought coming into the week was that their top three corners were not going to play. All practiced on Tuesday in some capacity. So, or maybe Wednesday in some capacity. I don't remember which day I saw it. So it looks like they're going to be healthier there than at least initially expected. So, like, I dialed back my expectations a little bit for Will Fuller, and it's not what, that's why, like, I'm not as high on Osweiler as Dave is. But I am starting Osweiler over Phillip Rivers in a league where I drafted Rivers as my only quarterback. I picked up Osweiler, and I'm starting Osweiler in a league that I drafted last night as is a super flex. So I think in those type of formats and in daily, I don't think Osweiler is a bad play at all. You always like when there's a good scenario for a home debut for new situations, and they spent a lot of money on him. They spent a lot of money on Lamar Miller. They drafted Will Fuller with high expectations. I think all these guys are very interesting plays. Certainly you're playing Lamar Miller, but Osweiler and Fuller to get off to a good start at home.
I think it's really going to tell us a lot about how confident Bill O'Brien feels in Brock Osweiler. Because I expect the Texans defense to have quite a bit of success early on. I don't think the Bears are going to be able to move the ball very well, except for Alshon Jeffrey. I think the Texans are going to play ahead for most of the game. I want to know, in the second half, is he just completely shut it down and it's almost all Lamar Miller, or is he taking shots? Because if not, Will Fuller's going to have a tough time because he's got to score in the first half.
I think if the score is lopsided, I should say lopsided, because if it's lopsided, then they would probably have an opportunity, unless the defensive touchdown, Miller has a touchdown, you know, and the game just gets completely away from Chicago. But it would not be a surprise to see a 2-touchdown lead turn to a 3-touchdown lead in the second half with a Fuller deep play. I mean, Fuller's not going to have a 5-for-105 type game. He's going to have a 3-for-78 touchdown type game. That's what you're hoping
He's
for.
He's a boom bust play.
Totally.
Yeah, well, Chris, I'll throw it to you because it's interesting if you have Fuller. It's his first game in the NFL. We saw really good things from him in the preseason, but it's the preseason. You know, could you have the guts to start Will Fuller over Jarvis Landry or Golden Tate, you know, or Kelvin Benjamin, somebody like that? Could you do that, Chris?
When it comes to guts, you're asking the wrong guy. I'm pretty low risk, so I'm probably sitting Will Fuller.
Did you even watch Nickelodeon Guts when you were growing up?
Of course I did.
Do you have him?
No. I would never have reached the top of the aggro crag.
Yeah.
I think the one name that you mentioned that's interesting is Benjamin. Now, again, depending on when you listen to this, I don't see the upside in Benjamin. I see plenty of upside in Fuller. For this
sure, that might be one that I'm willing to, but I just think, and if go on Twitter and look at what Heath and I debated last night, we had a very long, robust debate about Kelvin Benjamin. I just think at 35 snaps with how inefficient he was as a rookie coming off this injury, I'm pretty much sitting Kelvin Benjamin.
I would like to sit Kelvin Benjamin too, but I'd start him over Will Fuller.
I believe Ron Rivera because they have some receiver depth, but we have to be careful. When teams say they're going to limit players, they often lie. They often get into the heat of the game and they extend them.
Well, and my thought with Benjamin is if he plays 35 snaps, I don't think they're going to be in the red zone running plays and Ted Ginn's in and Kelvin Benjamin's out.
Sure.
So I think he's in there. So basically you're hoping Kelvin Benjamin scores a touchdown. You're hoping Will Fuller scores a touchdown.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, no.
Will Fuller's not playing Chris Harris in the Keith.
That's true. That's true.
Hey,
Kelvin Benjamin wasn't good in the red zone as a rookie.
Starter sit Jeremy Langford. In Houston's last 10 games, including the postseason, only two running backs scored double-digit fantasy points in standard scoring leagues. They were LeSean McCoy and Spencer Ware. No running back scored more than 12 fantasy points in standard scoring leagues. And in case you play PPR, you know, I just put it this way. Double digits is a good week. You know, you get to 10 fantasy points. That's a good week for a running back or a wide receiver. 7 or 8 fantasy points is pretty good for a tight end. So, yeah, only two of the last 10 games did Houston allow double-digit running backs. So how do you feel about, or double-digit fantasy points, excuse me. How do you feel about Jeremy Langford?
Not good.
Yeah, can't feel good about him.
Gore or Langford?
Gore, for sure.
All right.
I drafted Langford. I think I only have him in one league. And he is behind Kristen Michael in my lineup right now. And maybe Ryan Matthews. So it's easy to get away from.
Right. I don't think I have him in any leagues, but I would not be wanting to start him this week if I did.
If you feel like Keenan Allen is a must-start, against the Chiefs, but still someone that's that you're just not all that jazzed about, all that optimistic. How do you feel about Alshon Jeffrey this week? Kind of similar?
Is he healthy? Then I'm starting him. So that's
you're,
kind of
you're
how
starting
I feel.
Him, but just how do you feel about him?
I feel great.
Yeah. I feel better about him than I do about Keenan Allen. The concern is not necessarily him. It's will they be able to hold off the pass rush and give Jay Cutler enough time at any point during the game? And so, I mean, like, you didn't draft Alshon Jeffrey to bench him. It's the same thing about Keenan Allen. You're not going to bench Keenan Allen.
Sure.
But the matchup is much better for Jeffrey than it is for Keenan Allen. As long, like Chris said, as long as Jeffrey's healthy, you should start him. There's not going to be a lot of scenarios where you're going to say, I'm going to bench him.
Think about if you drafted a wide receiver in round two and a wide receiver in round three. Let's say Team A and Team B both did it. And Team A took Amari Cooper and Brandon Cooks. And Team B took Keenan Allen and Alshon Jeffrey. How much different those two teams are feeling about their wide receivers in week one.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Houston DST, top four defense, start them. Let's go through these last two games kind of quickly. I think they're the easiest ones. Can you trust any Viking other than Adrian Peterson?
Nope. No.
No, in a super deep league, I wouldn't mind playing Diggs, but I wouldn't trust him.
And Rudolph, too. You know, if you're stuck, you know, just given the tight end scenario. Like, there, you know, hopefully it doesn't happen, but if for whatever reason Rob Gronkowski's ruled inactive, that's a good guy to go pick up off waivers.
Delanie Walker owners are going to start Delanie Walker. Stephon Diggs or Tajay Sharp? Who you got?
Diggs.
Still Diggs. I don't really want to trust any of the Titans if I can avoid it. You know, but you drafted DeMarco to be probably a key member of your fantasy team. But otherwise, I think this is going to be a mauling by the Vikings. If this was in Minnesota, I wouldn't trust anyone, including DeMarco. But
no, I'm a little optimistic here for Tennessee. If Sean Hill was under center, I feel like they're going to make this a game. I feel good about it. I think this is going to be a really good game.
Well, if you say make it a game, then it's going to be 3-0.
I think, yeah, it might be 12-9 or 12-6.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to be... If you liked football 60 years ago, you're going to love this game.
I guess I'm just sort of a Mariota guy, and I feel like they're going to be a lot better maybe than people are thinking.
It's just a really tough matchup.
I don't disagree with what you're saying at all for the season,
yeah.
but this week, I mean, I think Minnesota is going to say, we are the Denver Broncos of this year. We are going to win with our defense and our running game, and we are going to not make Sam Bradford or Sean Hill have to win games for us.
Yeah.
And they are going to go out and bludgeon every team that they face.
They're going to extend every drive. They're going to bring the play clock down to 3 seconds on every single play. There's just it's also just a pace thing, I think, with Minnesota.
Yep.
So DeMarco Murray or Chris Ivory?
Oh, that's an easy one.
Easily,
yeah.
All right, DeMarco Murray or TJ Yeldon, PPR?
DeMarco easily.
Murray, still.
DeMarco, the one I struggle with in this scenario, too, is Frank Gore or DeMarco Murray.
Who are you going with?
Frank Gore. I probably feel comfortable with Murray over Gore, but it's very close.
All right, how about Frank Gore, or let's go to our next game, Jeremy Hill.
Hill.
I'd go Gore over Hill.
I'm sorry, I said Frank Gore. I meant to say DeMarco Murray or Jeremy Hill.
DeMarco Murray.
Murray, that's an easy one. Murray over Hill.
DeMarco Murray or Eric Decker? How do you feel about Eric Decker? You starting him?
Yes. Don't love it, but yes.
Yeah, I'd probably start Murray over Decker. I think that Murray's may catch as many passes as Decker this week.
Is Decker a top 30 guy this week?
I think so. Right on the borderline.
Yeah. Oh, easy. He's gonna be a top 30 guy most weeks. He's touchdown dependent. I mean, you know, if he doesn't score, you're gonna get about 80 yards. That's what he was last year when he didn't score. It was funny because his games were better when he didn't score from a yard standpoint than when he did score. But he's their best red zone threat. You know, that's who Ryan Fitzpatrick leans on when they're down there.
Would you start Giovanni Bernard or Will Fuller?
Bernard.
Easily.
You got some guys.
Daily,
like
though, I would start Fuller.
What did you say?
Daily, I would start Fuller.
Daily. So you like Giovanni Bernard this week?
I like him better than Hill. I think if this is a game that sets up more for Gio to be involved more so than for Hill to be involved.
All right, let's read some emails at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. Real quick, though, Fitzpatrick or Dalton? Sorry, I forgot that one.
Dalton.
Fitzpatrick.
Chris, you know, you don't have to wait for me to prompt you.
Fitz. I said it.
You said
loves
Fitz?
Chris loves Fitzmagic.
Yeah.
He's always talking about how good Ryan Fitzpatrick is.
Such a good quarterback.
Hey, little known fact. Did you know that Ryan Fitzpatrick went to Harvard?
Rewrote the Jets record book last year. Really impressive.
He has a beard, too.
Cerebral thinking.
And he shaved his head.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. Did you guys watch the roast of Rob Lowe with starring Peyton Manning?
Yes.
No.
No.
I watched it too. Did you like it, Chris? I only saw about, I don't know, half hour. I didn't think it was one of the better roasts.
I saw clips. I like Pete Davidson.
He was funny.
He looks like Christian Yelich.
He does look like, oh my God, great call. I couldn't figure it out. You're right.
I saw the clips on Peyton. Those were funny.
Yeah, Peyton did a good job. They were pretty
No,
mean.
People making fun of Peyton.
Yeah, they made fun of his forehead a lot. But Peyton also did a pretty good job. And David Spade, he seems like such a D-bag. Oh my God.
It's 2016. Why do we have a roast of Rob Lowe starring David Spade?
I don't know. And honestly,
it would have been timely 25 years ago.
It was weird.
Jamie, did we get transported in an alternate universe?
I don't know.
There's damn young kids talking about their Comedy Central.
We're in the
upside down world.
I forgot. Thank you, Chris.
Can I just bring up something real quick on Mariota and DeMarco Murray catching passes? That's not Mariota's specialty at all. Just looking at how he distributed his passes to running backs last year. Dexter McCluster was their guy, clearly catching passes out of the backfield. His best games were when Mariota was out.
I think I have 12 emails here. Let's get through them in 6 minutes. Can we do that?
Sure.
Eric in Portland has Latavius and DeMarco Murray on his team, and his team name is Super Murrio Brothers. What do you think?
I like it.
Not bad.
Yep.
Is that better than the more the Murrier?
They're both good.
Yeah. These are both like you should rename like these on Team Name Tuesday.
What about get a picture of Angela Lansbury and go with Murray Sheeper?
Ooh,
nice. Very nice.
I like it. John has another anagram for Heath Cummings because Thug Mechanism was a Heath Cummings anagram. How about Must Change Him?
Okay.
And Chris Towers is Or Screw This.
Sure.
Yeah. All right, now some football questions. Johnny wants to know, 12-team PPR, Danny Woodhead or Arian Foster?
Woodhead.
Foster.
Really?
Yeah, Woodhead did not play well against this team last year at all.
Oh, but Foster at Seattle? PPR?
I think he'll catch passes. Yeah, I think
he will catch passes. Yeah. All right, Matt in New Jersey. I'm looking to plug in Kristen Michael in a half-point PPR league. One of my buddies and league members called me out on the message board and told me to start one of my other backs, Gio Bernard, Rashad Jennings, or LeGarrette Blount. This person is also the two-time champion of our league, and quite frankly, he needs to be put down a peg or two. Any thoughts on if he's right? Should I start Gio, Jennings, or Blount over Kristen Michael in a half-point PPR league?
I like the fact that I'm hoping he's looking for fantasy ammo to respond to this guy, but he's already responded with a personal jab. That's how you do it. In a half-point PPR, as of right now, I would start Gio over Michael. If we get to Sunday morning and Rawls is inactive, then I'll put Michael ahead of Gio.
Yeah, I would do it anyway.
This is from Shallon in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Heath's second favorite town. Is that right, Heath?
Yes, my favorite AFC North town.
Favorite AFC North town. Dear James, Kirk, Lars, and Cliff. Chris Towers?
Metallica.
I have Tom Brady. I have RG3 as my backup. Do you like any of these other guys better than RG3 this week? Alex Smith, Matt Ryan, Brock Osweiler, Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Matt Ryan for sure.
Yeah.
His history against the Bucks at home is pretty telling. Three straight games with at least 26 fantasy points in the standard league. That's not going to be a very good defense.
Yeah. I'm really wishy-washy on RG3 versus Ryan. I think I'd still start RG3.
All right. This is from Mr. Sunday from a northeastern Massachusetts city. Anybody got a northeastern Mass city?
Worcester.
Okay. From Worcester. Hey, Tom, Jimmy, Jacoby, and Drew. Oh, those are Patriots
quarterbacks.
Running backs. Or quarterbacks. Yeah. What position do they play? Quarterbacks, yeah.
Some would argue that Brady's been their best goal line threat.
Yeah. 16 team half point PPR. I went 0 RB. I need 2 to start and 2 to cut from this list. Crowell, Ajayi, Kristen Michael, Terrence West, LeGarrette Blount, Rob Kelly, Devontae Booker.
You're cutting Ajayi and Booker?
No.
Ajayi and West.
Ajayi and West.
Okay. Why would you cut Booker?
What'd you say?
You'd cut Ajayi before you'd cut Kelly?
Yes.
Yes.
Doesn't West have a more clear path to playing time?
Maybe so, but if both guys are starters for their respective teams, I would take Booker 10 out of 10 over Tyrese West.
This week, though, I'm starting Crowell and Michael out of that group.
I would start Crowell and Michael out of that group, too.
This is from Rob. In a suburb of a mid-major city in southwestern Pennsylvania. Okay, that's funny. No idea. Dear Yancey, Charles, Ernie, and Andre. Ooh, I have no idea. Half-point PPR, who do I start? Pick two. Latavius Murray, DeMarco Murray, D'Angelo Williams, Spencer Ware, and Arian Foster.
It's a good group. I'd go Latavius and Ware.
Yep.
You go Latavius over D'Angelo Williams?
Yes.
Yeah, that's the easy one. It's D'Angelo and Ware. That's the...
Yeah, I think I have them maybe back-to-back. But yeah, I like Ware a little bit more than Williams.
Me too.
Are these Yancey Charles...
That is the Steelers wide receiver depth chart in 2000. Yancey Thigpen, Charles Johnson, Ernie Mills, and Andre Hastings.
Okay.
Wow. Good research by you.
This is from Dave in a Michigan basement. Dear three men and a little lady. I don't appreciate that.
That one hits home for you.
Yeah, I'm friends with the little lady from Three Men and a Little Lady, Robin Weissman. She's awesome.
She'll be at your wedding?
She will be at she'll be invited. I hope she comes.
Wow, I have to keep that in mind for when Rivers is better than Bortles for my toast.
Okay. PPR League, I have to choose between Latavius Murray and Spencer Ware.
Man, who else is on your team that you're going to have to bench one of these two?
Gurley.
Yeah, it could be Lacy.
Peterson, maybe?
Yeah.
I'm going with Latavius.
Me too.
Yeah, I guess.
Justin from a city in southwest Ohio. Cleveland.
Sure.
Commissioner of my 12-team family league, my mom is in the league for the first time this year. She drafted Hilton and Moncrief in back-to-back rounds. My brother-in-law made fun of her, then proceeded to draft Odell Beckham and Sterling Shepard. He now wants to trade my mom, Shepard, for Moncrief. I said I will veto the trade. Am I wrong?
I mean, your mom shouldn't make that trade.
Yeah, vetoing trade's bad, but this is your mom. Just tell your mom.
You're allowed to.
Just tell your mom not
she
to make the trade.
She carried you for 9 months. Now it's your turn to carry her.
for 4 months. All right, let's see if we can get a few more here. Paul in Albuquerque. Hey, DJ Milk, Pizza Stain, Adam's Wallet, and Chest Hair. I'm starting D'Angelo Williams. Do I pick
up? Does that mean I'm your wallet?
Yeah, I guess so. You're Adam's wallet. Do I pick up Theo Riddick?
I can't wait.
Theo Riddick, or do I start Jeremy Hill or Melvin Gordon? And he actually says, do I pick up Theo Riddick or start one of the two with worse matchups than the guards in charge of 11 in Stranger Things? Yeah, there you go. Jeremy Hill, Melvin Gordon, Theo Riddick in a PPR league, guys. Who are you going with?
I apologize to all 5,000 people who emailed us this week. Adam just goes through searching for any Stranger Things references.
I'm sure there are many more.
The thing about picking up somebody like Theo Riddick is you got to drop somebody that you drafted and may like better. So I wouldn't necessarily do that, and I'd probably just roll with Jeremy Hill.
Yeah, I'm starting Hill.
And that's going to do it for today's show. Good stuff. Thank you, Chris. Thank you, Kareef and Jamie. I appreciate it, guys.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
Man,
yeah.
Silence. They didn't even reply to
that.
Wow.
I didn't like that.
You know what happened is the brain told the other side of the brain, don't answer.
No, this is – Heath and I disagree. You know, just – you guys aren't addicted to Twitter like us, so you don't know. You don't know about our big falling out.
Oh, I saw a little bit of it in my while you were away. Chris Towers owns while you were away. That is now the Chris Towers section.
Well, that's because I'm the one that stays up late at night. You guys are all.
Oh, no, I stay up late at night. I just don't interact on Twitter the same way you do.
You don't tweet.
He has kids.
And there is a fix for that.
Just mute Chris at @CTowersCBS?
No, there's a new filter on Twitter. It's the quality filter. I found if you turn the quality filter on,
my tweets are all quality.
then my How You're Away thing is totally different. It's not Chris anymore.
I enjoy the Chris Towers tweets, and I enjoy today's show. We're coming back tomorrow with the NFC home games and a recap of the first game of the 2016 season. For Kareef and Jamie, I'm Adam. See you later, everybody.
The better, Dave.